The Candid Cast with Lucky Agede. Episode 5, Paradigm Shift, Shortcut Syndrome.
Welcome to another episode of the Candid Cast. Today we'll continue our study of paradigm shift. In this third part of the study, I'll be talking about the shortcut syndrome. I've heard someone say, all roads lead to Rome. And another person said, the end justifies the means. What these people are conveying is that every road to success is road. Many people who share this viewpoint have learned to define success as having money and lots of it. The shortcut to prosperity or shortcut to power or shortcut to whatever attainment is not anything to be desired. That's the essence of today's study. A society is destroyed or ruined by the pursuit of shortcuts for anything. And shortcuts are often the longest route to whatever we want to achieve. Growing up in the village, we had this saying that if you don't have enough time to wear your cloth once, chances are that you wear it inside out and you will not have time to remove it and wear it a second time. I know many people can relate with this. All that he's saying is an argument against shortcut, against haste. Don't be in a hurry. Does not mean that you should not have aspirations, you should not have desire, but you must map out clear roads, ethical roads, honest ways of getting to where you desire to be without cutting corners. Corner cutting is destructive to society, is destructive to entire well-being. Growing up in Nigeria, moral instruction was basic study in every family. In the days gone by, before people started to use money to replace God. Now there are more churches and less of God, more mosques and less of God, less of humanity. People have used all manner of things, particularly money. The worship of money has been enthroned in our society that makes society to look like a place where no one desires to live anymore. In the campaign against shortcut, training at home, we grew up with parable that we hear often, like Onomasinere wo yale shukun gededa lodi. This parable is from the Ika language group in Delta State. And when translated literally, what that parable was telling us is that if the person that choose to eat toad as meat does not suffer from swollen lips in the day, then no one will go to the bush for hunting. It will be difficult for you to understand this parable unless I explain the background or where it came from. To get protein in our foods, what used to happen was women going out at about between 8 and 9 p.m. in the evening when the dew starts falling and the snails are coming out from their hiding places. They go pick up snails. They do this till about 10:30 p.m. and they return home to catch some sleep. The men that went to farm all day will come back. At about 11 p.m. to midnight, they will go to the bush for hunting. There they get antelopes, they get grass cutter, they set traps, they go out to check their traps and all that. Those nocturnal animals are usually active at about that time. These men will go hunting because they needed to provide meat in the food of their families for the next day. Behind every house at that time, one of the easiest crops that they survived and thrived behind every house in the village was plantain. You have plantain at the back of every house. And because plantain retains water and is usually cold, you find toads hibernating around the plantain. The moral of the story is, if a person who sleeps all night, a lazy person who refuses to go to pick snail or refuses to go out hunting in the wild, wakes up in the morning, pick toad from behind the house to serve as his meat. If he does not suffer a negative consequence, nobody will go to the bush for hunting the next day or lose sleep to go and pick snail. The negative consequences on the head of that person will teach every person that shortcut is not a road to be envied. Nothing will go well for a person who pursues shortcuts. In the pursuit of shortcut, we have destroyed our educational system. I read a story recently from an unknown author, and it goes thus: destroying a nation does not require the use of an atomic bomb or the use of any long-range missile. It only requires lowering the quality of education and allowing cheating in examinations by students. You find this all over. Parents paying people to write exam for their children are shortcut to exam success. You find people arranging special center are shortcut to exam success because of the impression that certificate is success. I can tell you, certificate is not success. These children cannot defend those certificates that they carry. At the end of the day, we have produced people who are unemployed and unemployable. You get people who claim to be unemployed to attend interviews. You will ask yourself, which schools did these ones come out from? When you lower quality of education, patients die in the hand of the doctors produced by such an evil system. Buildings collapse and waste lives in the hands of the engineers. Money is lost in the hands of the economists and the accountants. Humanity dies in the hands of the religious scholars. Justice is lost in the hands of the judges. The collapse of education is the collapse of a nation. We need to restore. I'm not talking of just formal education. Moral education at home, ethical education, is all lost. There was civility. Then civic education was emphasized. People, schools took time to teach this. We had debates on the reasons why we live, why we do certain things that we do. It becomes clearer by the day that shortcut to wealth is really not short. There's no money. Now in Nigeria, people talk of poverty. I look at the comparison of the old society when Nigeria was said to be prosperous and today when Nigeria is said to be poverty capital of the world. In the prosperous Nigeria, you scarcely can find 3 or 4 cars in a local government. And in a Nigeria as poverty capital of the world, you cannot get approved plan for a block of 4 flats if you have not made provision for car park for 8 cars, because the average Nigerian family is believed to have a minimum of 2 cars. I don't know what people talk about when they talk of good old days. What was good in those days is the morality, the ethical conduct, the behavioral standard of people. That is what was sound then. Bribery was unknown. Everyone did his work as ought to. And that's what created the good Nigeria that we talk about. It was not in the quantum of money. So let's forget the noise about the poverty and look at what we are doing to morality. We have moral and intellectual poverty more than financial poverty today. Those times we call good old days, there was no money, but people were respected for their work. We were contented. Nigerians were contented with their earning, with their income. In a local government, you may not find more than 2 people who own cars. Teachers who had no bicycles, they were respected. Doctors and nurses were respected for the work that they do, not for any money that they carry. Today, respect is limited to money. Talk about anybody, I have money. So you have money from doing what? Nobody is asking what you do anymore to earn the money. People worked as if God was their supervisor in Nigeria. And you find the highest honor any woman looked forward to was to be called mama teacher. If a woman had 7 children, maybe it used to be Mama Paul or Mama BC. At the time, one of the children, it may be the 7th child that becomes a teacher. Nobody remembers the name of the other children. There was dignity in being a teacher. And it was a great honor for the entire family. Not for the money that the teacher carries, but teachers were recognized as builders of society. I wish we can return to that time and forget about this worship of money. It has destroyed and ruined society. It has made society a place of discomfort for everybody. In a poor society, everybody is poor. And when I talk about poverty, people look at their bank account and think that they are not poor. The richest man in Nigeria, to me, is poor. It's not in the opulence you find around him. It is not in the type of cloth or type of car that he drives. You are poor if you cannot do 1 kilometer from your house without mobile policemen, military to guide you. That is not the way life is structured to be. We are all members of the same society and should freely. Prosperity is in the comfort, the confidence that you enjoy in your society. You should be able to come out, interact among your people. For so long as you have high walls, fencing yourself up from your neighbor, you are poor. And this is to kill the desire to acquire the whole country to yourself. It does not matter how much money you have, you are poor. In a rich society, people are not counted as rich on the size of their bank account. Their lack of money is covered by the prosperity of the society. Where a society is prosperous, a homeless American will have more respect at the Nigerian airport than a Nigerian professor. And I can assure you of that. This is real story and our reality of today. What is the value of money when you cannot freely travel from point A to point B in your country? You need army, you need police, you need everybody to protect you from your next neighbor. You cannot sleep comfortably. The noise of generator will prevent you from sleeping. Oh, light has come, light is gone, go start the generator again. That is the life. Is that a prosperous life? What wealth are you enjoying when you cannot sleep? What wealth are you enjoying when there is no road to drive your big car? What wealth are you enjoying when you cannot trust the next person? Communal life is dead in the pursuit of shortcut. In developed countries, individuals do not have money, and they don't need to have. The public hospitals can serve any person, including the prime minister of the society. We have seen a prime minister diagnosed of COVID-19 virus, and he was treated in a public hospital, and he was good. We've seen the highest of ranking people in public service in developed world. Their children are in public schools. They do not need to have all the money. When you acquire all the money to yourself through shortcut, you kill the security system and you can no longer move freely. You kill the educational system. You send your children abroad. Now, with the children gone abroad, you live a lonely, miserable life in your country because the medical system has been destroyed. You fly all over the world to look for medical service. That is not the life of a prosperous person. That's why my own opinion is that no matter how much money you carry in a poor society, you are poor. And if you are in a rich society, if the society is wealthy, you are made wealthy by the wealth of the society. Many people have sent their children abroad for studying and they are dying in their old age, miserable and lonely, as though they were childless. The children are not respected in foreign countries as they would have been in their own country. When you are in your country, you are a king. You are in your environment. You know, there was a story in the Bible where Elisha asked the widow that was providing comfort for him, say, what can we do for this woman? The woman said, I live among my own people. That is instructive. There is comfort in living among your own people. Staying around, feeling at home. My take, we need to re-examine our ways. Quit the shortcut to wealth, shortcut to respect, shortcut to acquisition, and have respect for public good and self above self-interest. If this recommendation is followed, like I expect many of us, we have a shift in our paradigm. The greatness of Nigeria and indeed Africa will be an envy for the world. There is hope for Africa. At this point, I'll say thank you for listening. Like, share, and follow so you'll be notified when a new episode of our teaching is out. God bless you.
Thanks for listening to the Candid Cast. Be sure to tune in again next week.